From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. A powerful aftershock hit Haiti this morning, more than a week after the earthquake that flattened buildings in Port-au-Prince and left people in the streets without water or food. Preliminary reports say the aftershock's magnitude was 6.1. NPR's Carrie Kahn ran with other guests from a hotel outside Port-au-Prince.
It just shook. It really shook. And you heard people yelling, run, run, go. I heard debris falling. And everybody was out as quick as they could. People were running up to the balcony, out the front door, trying to get to the gate. This building that we're in is pretty heavily damaged already. The roof caved in on sort of the patio area. There's a large rubble debris pile there in the middle of the hotel. So I think people are anxious staying here anyway, but the owner has been incredibly generous to aid workers and to reporters.
That's NPR's Carrie Kahn outside Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Supporters of Scott Brown roared 41 last night as Brown pulled an historic upset in the Massachusetts special Senate election. He will be the 41st Republican in the Senate, eliminating the Democrats' filibuster-proof majority and putting a big roadblock in front of President Obama's agenda, including his signature health care overhaul plan. Brown will take the seat occupied for decades by the late Ted Kennedy, the so-called Lion of Liberals. Monica Brady Meyeroff of member station WBUR says Democrats are trying to figure out their next steps.
Democrats in Massachusetts are asking themselves what happened. Attorney General Martha Coakley had a strong lead in the polls and statewide name recognition, but lost to a little-known state senator, Republican Scott Brown. Some supporters said her campaign wasn't proactive enough. Others said Coakley didn't get enough support from state or national Democrats who took a win for granted. But the chair of the Massachusetts Democratic Party, John Walsh, says it's no use pointing fingers.
I would say to everyone, let's stop the blame game. Let's start, because if that's the analysis, who did this wrong or who did that wrong, then we're going to be continually running in this circle.
Senator John Kerry says he hopes the Democratic Party won't succumb to the temptation to form a circular firing squad. For NPR News, I'm Monica Brady Meyeroff in Boston.
Police in central Virginia are still looking for a man they believe shot and killed eight people yesterday and brought down a police helicopter. Officials found three bodies inside a house on a country road in the town of Appomattox, another four outside, and an eighth apparent victim was found alive but later died. No one was hurt when the police helicopter landed with a ruptured fuel tank. Stock prices in Asia moved lower today on new fears about China's tighter lending limits and corporate earnings reports in the U.S. This is NPR News. Obama administration officials will talk to a Senate panel today about the attempted Christmas Day bombing of a Northwest Airlines flight headed for Detroit. NPR's Brian Naylor says lawmakers want to know how the bombing suspect was allowed to board the plane.
The Senate Homeland Security Committee will hear from Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, Director of National Intelligence Dennis Blair, and National Counterterrorism Center Director Michael Leiter. They'll be asked to explain why the bombing suspect, 23-year-old Nigerian Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, was able to board the Northwest flight, allegedly with explosive materials sewn into his underwear. President Obama has called the incident a screw-up and said while intelligence officials had information to uncover the plot to bring down the jetliner on Christmas Day, they failed to connect the dots. Committee Chairman Joseph Lieberman, a Connecticut Independent, says the panel will ask why the intelligence community was unable to bring together the information it had despite reforms implemented after 9/11. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is taking an unusual step. He wants Congress to do a full review of the Fed's bailout of the insurance giant AIG. AIG sold insurance to financial institutions, but it backed its own insurance with shaky debt. And when that debt went bad, AIG's problems contributed heavily to the financial meltdown. The $182 billion rescue angered some lawmakers and members of the public, as did big bonuses paid to AIG employees as the company was being rescued by taxpayers. I'm Paul Brown, and this is NPR News from Washington.